And now we continue with our series, The New Littles. Every Thursday this month, we're exploring some of the ethnic neighborhoods and communities that you might not know that much about. Little Italy and Chinatown were named almost a century ago. Lots has changed since then, so it's time to identify some new littles. Our guest throughout the month is Andrew Beveridge, professor of sociology at Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center, and the man behind Social Explorer, a website that lets you explore all sorts of demographic data. Andrew, welcome back.
Well, thanks very much, Brian. I must say that, you know, I was thinking about their last segment that, in fact, when you think about why the Irish initially came to the United States, it's very relevant to what we're talking about today.
So here's a trivia question for you, and you probably know the answer. Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and Mexicans are New York's three largest Latino groups by population. What's the fourth?
It's probably Ecuadorians.
It sure is, and there are now over 100,000 living in Queens alone. In fact, the population there is so significant that last year Queens elected the first ever Ecuadorian American to statewide office in the United States. And he joins us now, Assemblyman Francisco Moya, Democrat from New York's 39th District. Assemblyman Moya, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Brian.
So the 39th, that's Corona and what else?
Elmhurst and Jackson Heights.
All right, right in the middle there. Now, since you're an assemblyman, before we talk about Little Ecuador, we have to carve out a little time to talk about what's going on in Albany. So what's the latest that you can tell us about negotiations over gay marriage?
Well, I think that that is right now one of the things that they're probably going to do last. I mean, from what I'm hearing, the Republicans are still holding out to see what the deal gets cut with, I believe, the tie to rent regulations and property cap. The property tax cap, and then see how they vote on gay marriage if they bring up the vote.
Do you have a prediction as to when it's going to happen, or are we going to be opening up our phones on the show tomorrow morning for people's gay marriage proposals?
Well, look, I'm optimistic. I feel very hopeful. I think this is the time to get this done. I think that, you know, we have to move on and make sure that we can bring marriage equality to the state of New York, which has always been at the cusp of progress. And we have to really make sure that the senators on the other side do the right thing.
But what are the odds of it happening today?
I think that it is really difficult to gauge right now, just given the depth of the negotiations that have been taking place. I know that they're really holding out to the very end. So, you know, I'm optimistic, but I'm not sure if this will come out today.
And by the way, did you vote for the bill to designate sweet corn the official New York State vegetable?
I did. It was a proud moment in my career, Brian.
It defeated the onion.
It did.
And the Herkimer Diamond also passed this week as the official state mineral. So they may not be able to do anything about property taxes, but we now have an official state mineral. Okay, now on to why you're really here. The booming Ecuadorian community in Queens. Here's a comment we got on our website. Quote, I am surprised how much of Queens has Ecuadorian populations. As I walk in this area, I call it Little Canar, as most of the people I see like me remind me of the Amerindian or Mestizo phenotype of the region of Canar, Ecuador. Is that accurate? Is the population in the Ecuadorian community from a specific part of the country?
Well, I think it's coming from a lot of different places. Look, you know, in Corona, my parents moved here in the early 60s. It was predominantly Italian. They were the first Latino family to live on the block. And now that entire area has just turned into a lot of first-generation Ecuadorians that have come in from many different parts of the country. It really just shows how many we are. We had the first soccer game that was held at Citi Field last week between Ecuador and Greece. It sold out. 40,000 people were there. You just saw how many yellow and red and blue shirts were there with the Ecuadorian pride that they had to see their national team come and play. And it's a place where everybody's made it their home. And you see it in the restaurants. You see it in the businesses that have have come up in the last few years, the homeowners that are coming in. It's a wonderful place to live, and it's just truly the place where, outside of Ecuador, Queens is the largest population of Ecuadorians outside the country.
How about that? And listeners, if there are any Ecuadorian New Yorkers who happen to be listening in Little Ecuador, if you want to call it that, in Corona, or anywhere, 212-433-WNYC. Also, we're still taking your nominations for other new littles, as we have one more week to go in the series, week from today. 212-433-WNYC for Ecuadorians in our area, or for more nominees for new littles to add to the series. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Andrew Beveridge, for you as the demographer, I mentioned that Ecuadorians are now the fourth largest Latino group in the city, and I read that in Queens they are in fact the largest Latino group. Is that true? More Ecuadorians than Puerto Ricans, than Dominicans, well, than Mexicans in the borough of Queens?
It's quite possible, because what's happened is where the Puerto Ricans have dropped somewhat in New York, and generally what's happened is where the Puerto Ricans were, the Dominicans have gone, and that's been Washington Heights and then up into the South Bronx, whereas we noticed a number of years ago that sort of what I would call the other Latino groups were moving into Queens, and they're not necessarily living this together with the other Latino groups. In other words, they're, you know, Ecuadorians might be one place, Colombians might be another place. I, in fact, have two Colombians working for me. One is about to go back to Colombia, but he's actually an American citizen. He's going to work in Colombia to help set up a social science, quantitative social science faculty in Colombia. So there's a tremendous interchange of sort of South and Central America into Queens. And I think, you know, whereas Puerto Ricans and Dominicans were more in the Bronx and up into the Bronx and down into Washington Heights. And then the Mexicans, there are a lot of Mexicans on 31st, and I wouldn't necessarily think that, you know, Mexicans would be the only group, I think, that would probably rival the Ecuadorians. But both of them are relatively new groups.
By the way, Assemblyman Moyer, a debate has broken out on our comments page over whether we should use the word Ecuadorian or whether it's Ecuadorian, I-A-N, or Ecuadorian, E-A-N. What's right?
I believe that it's Ecuadorian.
I-A-N or E-A-N?
Probably I.
I-A-N. Or someone said, well, maybe one Ecuadorian is an adjective, and another would refer to the person. He's an Ecuadorian or an Ecuadorian. But you're saying Ecuadorian in each case.
Yes.
I think the way to solve that, Solomon Moy, is for the Ecuadorian or Ecuadorian group to, you know, set up a group, and then that would determine it. You know, it would be like the Ecuadorian Association.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'm going to defer to the actual Ecuadorian in the room. So
yeah, no. To solve the discussion.
And Assemblyman, over the last year, two deaths have rocked the community. One immigrant was beaten to death by two men as he walked through a park in Bushwick. And then 18-year-old Anthony Callao was beaten to death in Woodhaven. In both instances, anti-gay slurs were yelled during the attack. But there was also an element believed to be of anti-immigration sentiment. What's your take? How has the community responded?
Well, you know, with the first case, with the Sukushinai family, I was the actual spokesperson for the family. Because it was, again, this goes to talk about these hate crimes that continue to happen in our communities. And, you know, people look a certain way. And like I said, me and my brother, who would walk down the street when we're wearing our suits, no one would stop and do anything like that because we look different. And I think that the Ecuadorian community has really suffered. given the fact that we're, again, it's high in numbers that are coming into this country now, and one of the things that we really need to do is start educating the public. We need to have stricter enforcement when it comes to hate crimes on how we classify a hate crime. Those are the things that we really need to get out. We need to make sure that the federal government is providing the Department of Justice with funds so that they can educate police departments, not just here in the city of New York, but throughout the country, on how to classify hate crimes, because a lot of times when people report these, they're not reported as hate crimes. They're reported as, you know, just a plain old robbery, right. And that's when and those numbers really go down, and it makes people afraid to report what goes on.
So how do you think, because we always talk about your area, Corona, Jackson Heights, Elmhurst, as being the epicenter of diversity in America and Queens in general, how do you think integration or toleration or just, you know, people getting along is going in and around your area?
Well, I think in my area it hasn't been where we've seen that type of crime come up, given the fact of the diversity of it and the years of people living there. It's a really wonderful community. A lot of people go there to see the different cultures, to eat at the different restaurants. You know, we in that area really have something that's really great, because the ability to have all of these different nationalities. I believe there's over 172 languages that are spoken in my district. It really is, you know, a place where people learn from one another. And I think that that's where the tolerance comes in.
Well, let's hope. Where's the best pupusa in Corona?
If I said it, I'd get in trouble. There was too many restaurants. And I would get a lot of calls to my office.
Andrew Beveridge, before we run out of time, we should mention that we're launching a new element to this new Littles project. We are asking for the artists, cartoonists, illustrators, map designers out there to take this list of new Littles and the data that you have generated and draw a map of New York, kind of like the ones you see tourists using, or a map on the cover of the New Yorker. You're a demographer, a very serious and numbers-based map guy, but I'm sure you appreciate a good cartoon map.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have right on my wall here the very famous New Yorkistan map, you know, which was on the cover of the New Yorker.
Yes.
And then I also have on my wall the view from Ninth Avenue. I think that New York and maps is really interesting. And, in fact, a map I have in my office is Manhattan. It was on the cover of the book on rats, and it has Manhattan looking like a rat. So I think that the way in which New York is depicted, you know, through maps, through pictures, is very, very interesting. For example, the subway has a bunch of very, very interesting art that depicts the subway system. And I've worked with one artist, Buxton Mignette, who tried to sort of add maps. He has one of New York with flowers, where the flowers represent income. So I think that this is, I think this is a really great idea.
So, listeners, there's your challenge, you designers out there. It doesn't need to be completely accurate or comprehensive. More than anything, we want to have a new map that represents all the diversity, all the new Littles, the neighborhoods we've been hearing about. And we have all the information from Andrew Beveridge's data set and other stuff on our website for you to work from. So we hope designers will go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we will find a way to display all your entries so that everybody can see them with your names attached and everything. If you want to contribute to our new Littles mapping project, see the data set at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll return one more time with Queens College and CUNY Graduate Center sociologist Andrew Beveridge. Next Thursday at the same time, I also want to thank Francisco Moya, the first ever Ecuadorian-American elected official, assemblyman from Corona, for joining us today. Thank you both so much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, we said we were going to talk about Little Tibet, but we're pushing that off to next week.